The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I remember when I first read that verse. It kind of stopped me in my tracks, actually, because I think I wasn't sure what the fear of the Lord looked like. It's said so often in Scripture, and yet here in this verse, it gave me even more pause because I saw that it had a relationship with something very important. It was the beginning or the foundation of knowing anything. But this also stood in great contrast to other parts of Scripture. For example, one of the most repeated commands in Scripture is fear not. Or even another, perfect love casts out fear. So I wondered, how do we fear not and have the fear of the Lord? How do we fear not and have the fear of the Lord and then begin to know anything at all, unless the fear of the Lord means something very different than my modern conceptions of fear tell me. And I came to learn that in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, it in fact does mean something very different than my modern cultural thoughts of fear. It actually is much better translated in our context as the word awe or wonder. So now let's listen to that verse again with that in mind, the awe or wonder of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. But even then, even if we were to embrace this understanding of the wonder of the Lord, we tend to think of wisdom as something you either have or you don't, right? We have King Solomon, he prays for wisdom, and he receives it. He's got it. A person is wise, we say. But if you notice, the prologue of this book of wisdom, this introduction to all these sayings of wisdom, has some interesting verbs. It says, gaining, receiving, adding, getting. And not just for those who don't have wisdom, but even for those who do. If we look at verse 5, it says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. See, according to the wisdom literature, there's no such thing as having arrived. Or as maybe we hear nowadays, there's no such thing as a person who's woke and then a person who doesn't get it. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Because fundamentally, wisdom understands that there's more to understand. Another proverb says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Like as soon as you think you know it, this would be my translation to my children. As soon as you think you know it, you're in trouble. And I think this has been, in some ways, the covenant's stance. The reason the covenant denomination and in my study in seminary, doesn't make a lot of doctrinal assertions is because it understands that there's always more to understand, right? That we can't possibly, I think the scripture says, know the mind of God. That we can't possibly think, you know what, we've arrived, we completely get this predestination thing. We got it. We understand it, right? Or revelation, that guy wrote that great book. We're settled. We understand. No, our denomination takes a posture, I'd like to think, of wonder that says, you know what? There's more to understand, so let's wrestle with this together. Who can know the mind of God? See, wonder keeps us from worshiping our own knowledge, and it also keeps us from becoming judge. Because I want you to hear something a friend told me this week. He was on a training, another pastor. It was kind of this cultural identity training. And he said to me, you know, one of the things that stuck with me was that curiosity can't occupy the same space as judgment. Curiosity and judgment can't occupy the same space. So what will keep us from being wise in our own eyes and maybe trying to be gods ourselves by exercising judgment? Nourishing the wonder of the Lord. Another way to put it is a quote I saw earlier this week. It is not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers to every question, but to make us increasingly aware of a mystery. God is not so much the object of our knowledge as the cause of our wonder. Wonder understands that there's more to understand. But there's something else that comes up in this intro to wisdom in these seven verses. And it's that wonder receives instruction. And the reason I could infer this is because it actually says the word instruction three times in seven verses. And when you have something repeat that much in a short amount of time, like when a mother says, hey, I need you to clean your room. If you can go upstairs and check your room because we're having company at 6, so I need the room to be clean. You go, oh, okay, I got it. Clean the room just happened three times in the last 30 seconds, right? And scripture can be the same way. If we have a passage where it's repeating the same thing over and over again, I go, wait a minute. I heard clean my room three times there. I heard receive instruction. And here we have receive instruction, verse 2. Receive instruction, verse 3. And then again in verse 7, in some stronger language, the wonder of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever seen this at play? It's almost like the beginning of every good story, like a formula. Like, well, we could have read the instructions, but of course, this doesn't apply to IKEA furniture because it's like they don't put the instructions, right? So then you're like nourishing wonder the whole entire time you're building that thing. But wisdom, as we see in this prologue, or instructions, doesn't take away from wonder, right? Instructions on how to go down safely in the Grand Canyon doesn't take away from the wonder of the Grand Canyon. And yet, we can get trapped into this idea that somehow, if we're wise, we don't need instruction. And I see this intergenerationally all the time, and I have to confess in myself, because in this midlife, I feel like I can identify on both sides of this. First, when we're young, we know it all, right? Our parents and our teachers just don't know. They just don't know. In fact, I have an 18-year-old. I trust he'll never listen to this. He knows more than all his teachers. It's amazing. He knows more than all of them. There isn't one teacher who knows more than he does. So either we're young and we know it all, or what I'm increasingly finding, because I do dye my hair. Actually, there's a lot of gray that's coming out. They call it glitter when I go into State Bill. They said, oh, your glitter's showing. And I'm beginning to encounter, right, doctors who are older than or younger than me, a lot of moms who are younger than me. And I find myself saying things like, I mean, what have you really experienced? I mean, what do you know? What have you seen? What do you have to teach me, Miss 30-year-old new mom? Mr., you've never had a baby doctor, right? We can get into this. What could you possibly have to teach me? But see, wonder in this prologue says it's able to receive instruction, whether you're young or old, whether you've seen a lot or you've just seen a few things. And wonder deals with our pride. And it's a good thing, because God opposes the proud. And that's a big thing. To say that God opposes the proud says, wow, I need a way to deal with my pride. And nourishing wonder, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of sitting in wisdom says, it's part of understanding. There's more to understand, but it's also part of receiving instruction. And I actually have to be very careful of this as a white person too, because we live in a country where most of the systems were built by white people. They work really well for white people. And I see this all the time actually in social media. I'll have a friend of color maybe say something about a news article, and then I'll have another friend who's white who's like, that's like not how it works. That's not how things happen. That's never happened to me. And actually, there's a book recently written called White Fragility, where a psychologist has kind of taken on this, or has noticed this phenomenon, that when we have this opportunity for instruction from people who typically don't instruct us, there's this like defensiveness, or you kind of get hot, or maybe you like your heart starts racing, you get very defensive, maybe you get angry. And that's what this author, Robin DiAngelo, would describe as white fragility, very triggered at having conversations that make you uncomfortable. And I actually noticed this myself, which I have to confess was a very big deal, because I actually facilitate Sankofas and Journey to Mosaics for the denomination. So I can kind of sit in this place where like, oh yeah, I've totally studied race and all these sorts of intercultural things, so you couldn't possibly call me a racist. And then just recently, I was at the movie theater, and I was waiting for my food. It was one of these movie theaters where they could deliver your food to your seat, or you can kind of get it ahead of time. And I know we have some nice ones in Bolingbrook. I don't know, is there one like that here? Anyway, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go get my food first so I'm not interrupted in the movie. And there was a black guy next to me, and he was going towards the same food that I ordered. And I said, oh, okay, I'm over here. And implied, essentially, like, oh, could you bring me my food? I'm over here. That's my food. You don't have to go in the theater. And he just kind of stood there and looked at me. And I felt myself start to get hot, because I immediately knew, oh boy, this is a moment of instruction, and I'm not sure I want to learn this lesson, right? And he looked at me and he said, why did you think that I worked here? And I didn't really want to answer that question to myself. And immediately I start getting really defensive, you know. I want to be like, oh, no, I teach classes on race and you don't understand, and da, 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 da. And I remember I was seeing this movie, Get Out, which was even a movie dealing with race. So out of my mouth comes this phrase, oh, no, I'm not racist. I'm here to see Get Out. And he's looking at me, and I could feel in myself the invitation to wonder. To wonder, why is it that I assumed that? Why is it I thought that? But yet, this phenomenon that Robin talks about, of the fragility, of not being used to being asked that question, not being used to in places where somebody can say to me, have you thought about how you sound? Have you thought about why you might be thinking that, saying that? And I think that brings us to the third thing we see in these first seven verses. It says, wonder asks questions. There's this lovely retired woman in our church named Nancy, and if you've ever been in Bible study with Nancy, she knows a lot of things. In fact, sometimes she's quicker to answer those questions than I am, and supposedly these things should be pretty fresh in my mind coming out of seminary. But I believe that part of it, as I watched her in studies, is because she brings so much wonder to the text. I wonder why the text says. I wonder why this people group, what they were about. I wonder what it meant by. And that wonder leads her to increased knowledge and wisdom. And so the other day we had an event at our church. Our church is in Joliet, and it's actually the closest Covenant church to the Stateville Prison and the North Park Restorative Arts program there. So some of the students inside were saying, you know, I love what's going on in here. I really appreciate this inside-out program, but I would love our families to experience this too. I would love for our families to feel like they're connected and aren't, you know, on the margins or ostracized in their communities. You know, would you consider hosting an event? So we hosted a fall fest for families of the incarcerated. And Nancy was at the event, as were many other people at our church. And we had speakers and different things. Actually, Pastor Alicia came and did some of the stuff she does in her arts cohort. And at one point, Nancy comes up to me and she said, you know, I keep hearing this phrase, mass incarceration. She's like, I wonder what does that mean? And I realized that I had never actually sat in the place of people's questions, right? That I actually hadn't explained, oh, wow, the reason that I am so passionate about this, and even that North Park or denomination is thinking a lot about this, is because in the last 40 years, there's actually been a 700% increase in incarceration while our violent crimes go down, our crime rate has gone down. Or even, I haven't explained that even though drug use is the same in white communities and black communities and Latino communities, that in communities of color, I think for black communities, it's like 17 times more likely that you're incarcerated for a drug-related charge than in a white community. I didn't ever explain that in white communities, there are social workers and nurses and rehab at the school, but in black communities, they have police. And so we then have something called a school-to-prison pipeline in certain communities, and we have rehabilitation in others. I never explained that 40 years ago in Illinois, we got rid of parole and started mandatory minimums, and over 50% of the people now in prison are actually in for a drug charge. Now, obviously, I could go on and on, but the point being that there was this really robust conversation that had someone said in our church, I don't think I like hanging out with the families of criminals, could ever have gotten that. But because of Nancy's posture of wonder, because of her ability to nourish that, and I got to give you a picture of Nancy. She's like this, like, 5'2", like, 77-year-old woman, white woman. And because, so, just this the lovely ability to, at her stage of life, to not sit in there and just go, oh, well, I have feelings about this, but to wonder and ask questions actually led to me not only being able to have a conversation, but then write an article in the paper because I realized none of our neighbors knew why we were having that event. Nobody in our community could understand why that was something we were doing. And so now we are able to sit in the wonder of what God's doing and ask questions of what God may continue to do because a lovely woman was able to ask questions in place of judgment. Now, I talked with the kids this morning, and I do think that scripture, essentially, Jesus himself tells us the same thing. He says, we must become as little children, and no one asks more questions, am I right, than little children. Mom, where are we going? Are we there yet? What's it going to be like? What does that mean? What does that word mean? Why are they crying? Why does he have tattoos? Why does she wear that thing on her head? See, I think Jesus tells us to become like little children because of what we were reading this morning in Proverbs, that the beginning of any knowledge or wisdom is with nurturing, is with embracing wonder. And you know, Jesus himself did this, which, if you think about it, should be a bit mind-blowing. The one who knows all the answers, the one who has all the knowledge and wisdom, modeled asking questions. There's someone who did a study on this and actually wrote a book on the fact that Jesus asked 307 questions. And do you know, in his life, as it is recorded, he only answered three. And yet we believe that we're called to just be the answer man, be the answer woman for Christianity. And yet when Jesus encountered people, his whole posture towards conflict, in fact, was asking questions. And these weren't just questions about God. And they weren't just questions about others. We see Jesus over and over again asking us to ask questions of ourselves. What would it look like not just to ask, why is she wearing that hijab? But why am I feeling this way about it? Why am I reacting this way to how that person treated me? I wonder what I'm not understanding. I wonder what I'm feeling. See, if we are to be a people who lean into who God is, if we're going to add to our knowledge and our wisdom, if we are not to be called fools or act foolishly, nurturing wonder is what Scripture tells us as the beginning of that journey. Because wonder understands that there's more to understand. And wonder is able to receive instruction from God and others at any age. Wonder doesn't cease asking questions about God, each other, and ourselves. And wonder, my friends, is, after all, at the heart of what is wonderful. And surely, we also want more of that. Amen.